south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Hey, we've got some bad news for gringos and expats coming out of Ecuador. Yep, and it's breaking news just this week. You've heard me talk about the various little things, negative things, that have been happening in Ecuador over the last couple of months. And a big blow came to expats who want to leave the country with any kind of money or assets at all. You get taxed 5% on all that just for leaving. But for the gluttonous Ecuadorian government, that wasn't enough. Until just this week, I did recommend Ecuador for expats with reservations. And even a few years back, I recommended it with no reservations at all, because there were many good things it had to offer. However, after this week, well, it's off my list. And of course, as you might have guessed, it's all about a greedy government. What else is new? Yep, they figured it out. They see now one of the only ways to get a big leg up is to gouge the gringos that are piling in like crazy, because after all, for the last few years, Ecuador has been rated as expat destination number one or two by those big rags like International Living, Expats Abroad, AARP Magazine, and so many expat blogs and websites. And you longtime listeners know that I always have said, as soon as a country pops up on one of those lists, it's on the radar as the next cheap, ideal place for expats to live. Generally, they'll say it's the next Costa Rica, which should be a red flag in itself, because obviously if you know what happened to Costa Rica or have any kind of boots on the ground there, you'll know it's not a good expat Plan B destination by any means. Man, I'll tell you, these expat newsletter writers and bloggers are almost always 5, even 10 years behind the curve. Man, I knew Costa Rica was over 20 years ago. I knew Panama was done over 10 years ago, too. And I've been warning you about Colombia for the past, what, 3, 4 years now, right? Oh, and as for Mexico, that never began for me. That was over before I even left the States 27 years ago, man. All right, so then what put the final stink on Ecuador? Well, let me read you this little email. Just came in the box about 10 minutes ago. And funny enough, it was exactly on the topic I was about to discuss on this show, so you'll get hit with a double hammer on this one. Starts out, "Dear Johnny, we've been listening to you for years. Unfortunately, we didn't find you before we moved to Ecuador. We've been here for 4 years now, and we're considering getting our citizenship. We may still, but I'm sure you've heard that the government has increased the IESS. That's the healthcare premium. It'll now be 17.4% of the minimum wage amount of a worker, which is about $350 a month. And if you as an expat are on the plan, it'll be 17.4% of the amount of foreign income you bring in each month to the country. That was the amount that qualified you to get into the country as a permanent resident." All right, let me stop a second and clarify something here for you. When you apply for residency in any Latin country, we're talking about permanent residency, not temporary. And of course, everyone wants permanent residency right away, because if you just go for temporary, which doesn't require any proof of income, then you have to wait a couple more years before you can switch to permanent, which extends the time of getting a passport from 5 to maybe 7 or 8 years. So everybody wants permanent residency. And to do that, you have to prove to the Latin government you've got outside income, generally from around $750 to $2,500 a month, depending on the country. Now, when you're going for permanent residency, your lawyer or whoever is advising you will tell you, don't try to just scrape by. For example, if you need $1,000 a month to get permanent residency, it's better and it'll work in your favor to be above that number. Makes sense, and that's what immigration lawyers will tell you. Give yourself some breathing room so you just don't barely scrape by. So then what if you're getting a pension of, let's say, $4,000 or $5,000 or $6,000 a month? Well, you'll put that down, correct? And you'll have the paperwork to prove it. Hey, now, there's some real wiggle room. No problem, right? Well, not so fast. Well, as of last week in Ecuador, if you're bringing in a lot of monthly income, in a way, you're shooting yourself in the foot. But don't worry, you'll have government healthcare coverage. Ha ha. Now, since about 2013, foreigners like U.S. citizens that had residency in Ecuador could get on their national health care plan called the IESS. Now, you longtime listeners will know I've said a million times, you don't want to have anything to do with a country's national health care system. You've heard me say they don't have gloves, disposables, syringes, clean water, and routinely they have power outages. And what happens if someone's in surgery when there's a power outage? Well, the emergency generators kick in, right? Insert laugh track here. Well, you know, in Latin America, especially with the government, it's maintenance not by design, but by crisis. So again, you want nothing to do with a national healthcare hospital. That's what I've been saying along, right? So then you might ask, why would gringos who've got their residency in Ecuador buy into the national healthcare system? Well, because you know what? Their national healthcare system is one of the better ones, maybe even the best, since in the last few years they've quadrupled their expenses on healthcare, which actually becomes the root of the problem we're talking about right now. Unintended consequences and all that. So first world people have been told that Ecuador has one of the best, if not the best, Latin national healthcare system. And lots of gringo expats with residency signed on to that system because they were paying $70 a month for what was presented as full coverage medical care, no pre-existing conditions, no co-payments. Now, at the risk of tooting my own horn, I gotta say I know a lot about Latin American healthcare and Latin American insurance. And it helps a lot that I have a degree in electrical and biomedical engineering. And you know, when people say, gee, what's a biomedical engineer? Well, take a look in the hospital and you'll see it's all about machines, electronics, and computers, right? Well, who do you think designed most of that stuff? How about biomedical engineers? All right, so I'm not just a wise guy with a liberal arts degree who never read a science book spouting out some crap. Well, maybe just a little crap. But I digress. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Yep, it's true. For a lot of Americans, that extra push to get them to make that move to Ecuador was the fact that they could pay $70 a month and get that national healthcare package. I still don't know why anyone would buy into national healthcare, even in the first world. Well, I guess if you're young and healthy, you could brag about it all day long now, couldn't you? Just like you could brag about your military if you were never a soldier in a war. You know, there are terrible downsides to even first world national healthcare systems like Canada's. You heard me talk about the 30-hour wait in some emergency rooms, you know, if you're not suffering from a gunshot wound, bleeding from an artery, or having a heart attack. Well, in Latin America, it's more of the same and a lot worse to basically pathetic in most Latin countries. However, you'll note that where there's a lot of gringos, you know, where the gringos are populating and settling, the national healthcare hospitals are much better. The government sets it up that way. They have to make a good impression for the gringos and tourists. In fact, I've been to Cuba a couple times, and you know what? The only place where the national healthcare in Cuba, and that's the only kind there is, happens to be near first world standards is right in Havana, where all the gringos and tourists hang. And of course, where all the middle and upper level government maggots and puss bags hang. So they and you, if you get sick in Havana on vacation, get first world or near first world medical care. Meanwhile, in a boonies, you get aspirin, penicillin, some band-aids, and a big dose of the Latin equivalent of Imodium. Unless, of course, you've got U.S. dollars, then the pharmacist will go behind the counter and bring out an altogether different kind of stash. But as far as the national health care in Ecuador, some areas such as Santo Domingo and Iberia report waits of up to 2 months to see specialists and huge shortages of medications. Well, that's true throughout Latin American national health care hospitals. And again, it's all about where you're located. If you're in Cuenca or Quito or Guayaquil, you'll have access to modern, nearly first world medical care because that's where the gringos are and the high-level rat breath politicians. However, in the rural areas, you'll see there's not the same level of care at all. And if you think that there's red tape with the U.S. government's Medicaid and Medicare programs, man, you should see it in Latin America. The government bureaucracy and red tape is insurmountable. So imagine navigating through that system plus not knowing Spanish. Oh, man. Now, when you're at a private, not public, medical clinics or hospitals, the doctors will always speak some English. Now, of course, a lot of gringos and expats in Latin America will pay for their medical expenses out of pocket. That is, they won't buy into the national healthcare program, which is almost always a good thing. And they don't buy into those cheap insurance programs, which provide very good coverage either, mostly because they don't know about them or don't know how to get started, because all the ads, documentation, and literature are in Spanish. Now, about going raw, that is paying out of pocket. In most cases, if you've done your homework and you're not going to doctors that'll gouge you for gringo prices, you'll pay about a fourth to a sixth of what you'd pay for pretty much the same thing up in the first world. In fact, not so long ago, I went to a first world medical clinic with a gringo whose Spanish sucked. He was on a private Latin American health insurance plan, paying around 60 bucks a month. This time, it was a trip to the ophthalmologist, not optometrist, ophthalmologist, a specialist in his plan, and I knew they would dilate his eyes and he wouldn't be able to drive home. So I went with him, and it didn't matter that his Spanish sucked because the doctor spoke some English. Anyway, I saw a sign on the wall. It says if you're with the medical plan, like he was, you'd have to fork over $5 for every visit to the specialist. And if you were paying out of pocket, it was a whole $25 for a visit. Now, what would that cost out of pocket in the States? I just looked it up. Average, $125 to $150. So yes, for us gringos and expats who are used to paying very high fees up in the States, you can decide to pay as you go. That's a reasonable thing to do if you have a little excess money. You know, maybe put a grand or two away a year in a fund just for emergencies. Better yet, buy into one of those oh-so-inexpensive healthcare policies that are just getting online right now. Though, since most gringos have pretty useless Spanish, you have to look out. I've done some heavy investigation into this stuff and even wrote a 100-page healthcare report dealing with all aspects of healthcare here in Latin America, including insurance. And I've noticed as these new insurance plans come online, something strange has been happening. If you go to a Latin American insurance broker, they're out here, of course, and you say, look, why don't you give me some quotes on 5 or 6 plans, whatever you got? In a week or two, he'll come back with quotes that are $200, $300, $400 a month. And you'll say, wait a minute, Johnny said you can do this for 100 or under. Well, I've seen some of these quotes, and what they do is they look at you as a gringo who wants absolute maximum coverage. Now, they may be out to gouge you when you're on the gringo tourist trail, but I don't think that's happening off the trail. They just think you're a gringo, you want everything deluxe, and so they slap the maximum coverage on you. They give one person more coverage than an entire hockey team needs. I've seen the numbers, and I've duked it out with the brokers. I've said, look, why are you giving this guy a quote for $1 million yearly coverage? That's ridiculous. I'll bet you $1,000 there aren't two people in Latin America who ever went through $1 million worth of medical coverage in 1 year. In fact, he finally told me he never even knew a single person who used $100,000 worth of medical coverage in 1 year. Now remember, up in the States, that would be $400,000 to $600,000 in medical claims for one person in 1 year. Up in the States, with those numbers, we'd be talking organ transplants, right? And when I say to the brokers, why are you doing it? Why are you blasting these guys out of the park? And they always say, well, you know, gringos, they want Cadillac coverage, top of the line, best of everything. And I told them, the problem is with you. You've been watching way too much US TV. And then with one broker, when I asked him if he even knew one person that ever used $100,000 of coverage in 1 year, he had to say, no, I don't think so. You get it? So he's giving a gringo a quote on 10 times as much. So even a top out at $100,000 a year, that's probably way too much. That's a whole other story. And why, if you don't want to get sucked into that black hole, you have to talk to somebody like me or my expat concierge ladies, and they'll work all that out for you. How? By dealing with those brokers and setting up the basic parameters. Because, you know, when a gringo hears that there's a full coverage plan for $300 or $400 a month, man, he's almost always going to jump right on that, often never knowing he could get perfectly adequate coverage for $50 to $100 a month. In fact, just recently, a new expat gringo who went to an insurance broker down here off the gringo tourist trail, the guy had come up with 4 or 5 plans, anywhere from $300 to $500 a month. And by the time I got done rearranging some of those numbers, it was down to around $125 a month. Of course, the brokers don't like that because it cuts down on their commission. Well, you know, clueless gringos with crappy Spanish overbuy insurance down here all the time. I know what you're paying for insurance up in the States. And down here, even when the brokers stick it to you, it can seem too good to be true. For example, full coverage, no pre-existing conditions, $300 to $500 a month, minimum 80-20 copay or even better, with something like a $300 to $500 yearly deductible, seems like an old school policy from the 1970s or 80s, doesn't it? And I'll tell you, even though it's a family plan that sounds great, you'd be paying way too much. But let's get back to this Ecuador problem. So it's true, thousands and thousands of first world Americans came down, and still are, people on Social Security, bringing in only about $1,000 to $1,500 a month. They understand that living on a Social Security checkup in the States means you just have to find new and better ways to prepare cat food. So they're looking at places like Ecuador as their plan B. And they've heard they can get on the national health care for $70 a month. By the way, I believe residents have been able to get on the national health since 2013. Well, that government promise lasted about 4 years. And now that the government's built new buildings, hired more doctors, bought more equipment, and yes, dramatically increased the hospital bureaucracy of useless paper pushers, well, surprise, surprise, the system is in debt and bleeding cash big time. But back to the email. It says, Johnny, with this new increase, that means that most expats who came down on pensions or Social Security, who enroll into the IESS healthcare system, will have an increase of 300 to 400% over what they're currently paying. Oh, and now believe this. Ecuador requires that insurance be maintained by visitors and residency holders. So, she writes, you used to be able to self-insure. That would be pay as you go, of course. But as of now, it's either private insurance or that government plan. So, Johnny, in the end, I anticipate there will be a huge exodus of gringos who have only Social Security or a small pension holding them here in Ecuador. And surely, there will be a large exodus by people who have a lot of money. As for us, we're only living on Social Security, so it could be quite tight. Sure, we could absorb that 17.4% charge. I'm not sure we want to, though. This, we feel, is just the beginning, and soon Ecuador will start taxing our U.S. Social Security, too. Then what? Well, Johnny, just wanted you to know what's happening in Ecuador now. Wish we had heard you talk about it first. But more importantly, we will be making a trip to your part of the world, Central America. Although we can't afford attending your seminar right now, we're not afraid of traveling on chicken buses. Then she writes, LOL. Anyway, take care, Johnny. People will need to take a closer look at Ecuador. Social media is already saying that people are preparing to leave. Oh, and by the way, if we did leave to go to another Latin country and get our residency there, would we need to get a police report from the U.S. or from Ecuador? Thanks again, Johnny. Mrs. B and Mr. S. No, it's not BS. I wish it was. I'm sure they do, too. Well, thanks for that sobering report, guys. And as far as that police report, you'll have to get it from the country you've spent most time in over the last 5 years. Now, that's what they say, but it's not a hard and fast rule, and nobody really checks. Not too closely, anyway. And by the way, if you ever have trouble getting a police report from a foreign country that you've been living in for a while, like Ecuador, just ask your Latin lawyer or go to a local lawyer and tell them you need a police report, and they'll usually be able to get it for you in record time, whereas it might take you some days and a couple of hours in line. Oh, and another thing about police reports. Here in Latin America, you'll generally get two, unlike the States. You'll get one for your local city or department or state, and you'll get a second one that's considered a national report. Now, that's a little piece of information almost no first world gringos know about. So, by all means, get the local police report from the district or department or state you live in, and get the national report too. That way, you'll be covered for wherever you move next. But remember, when you apply for residency in another Latin country, those documents have to be no less than 6 months old, so you have to apply for residency within that six-month time frame, or you'll have to go back to the country you're living in and get another set of reports. Not fun, not easy, not cheap. And speaking of my next seminar, which starts July 8th, 2017, you've got till June 1st to get in on the early bird discount. That's a little over 2 weeks away from when this broadcast goes out on the 12th of May. So sign up before June 1st and save $500. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com and click on Johnny's seminar link for all the sign-up details and information. And also, you still got time to kill two birds with one stone. That is, come to the seminar and get your Guatemalan permanent or temporary residency started. Remember, it's one of the best, least expensive, and most flexible residencies available. And as you've seen with Ecuador, and in the past couple shows, I've been talking about Colombia and Panama too, changes come fast here in Latin America. You just got to get this residency thing going while the going's good. And if you're just thinking about your plan B and don't know quite how to get it started, just go to www.expatplanb.com and sign up for my Expat Essentials course. It'll help you get all your ducks lined up for your own plan B. And of course, I'm always available to help you out on a phone or Skype call for a one-on-one consultation to help you work out the details and the particulars of your own plan B. And you know, I charge for that. However, I've done well over a couple hundred calls so far, and I want people to be happy, so I offer a money-back guarantee, and guess what? There's never been a single person who's ever taken me up on that offer. So why not be the first? Just kidding. So if you're thinking about a one-on-one call or Skype with me, just go to www.thenewexpat.com and download my expat consultation form. It's got a lot of questions and suggestions that will definitely help you organize your thoughts before we get on the call. So go there, download that form and questionnaire to see what I'm talking about. Hey, it's free. It'll get you thinking and give you some good ideas. Oh, and Mrs. B and Mr. S say I'm behind in my YouTubes. Well, I am, but not that much. Getting caught up. Got the famous Jen Galt working her way through them, and hopefully we'll get caught up within a couple of weeks. At least that's what we're thinking. Nothing that's really worthwhile is easy, you know. Anyway, just to reinforce how really pissed off gringos living in Ecuador are about this huge new healthcare premium increase, you need to hear some excerpts from this article that just came across my desk. Entitled, get this, Expat Meeting Turns Rowdy. This from May 5th out of Cuenca, Ecuador. It says, expat meeting turns rowdy as Social Security officials announce fee increase to, quote, equalize, that would be subsidize the costs for the average Ecuadorian minimum wage worker who pays a tiny amount into the system. It starts, and I have to laugh. Officials of Ecuador's Social Security, the IESS system, were forced to cut short a Friday meeting with foreign residents in Cuenca, Ecuador, when some members of the audience became disruptive. The meeting, held at a government office, was called to explain the national healthcare fee increase and other changes. And I'm paraphrasing here. It says, most Ecuador foreign residents who are IESS members joined because of the system's national healthcare benefits. And now, the monthly fees will be triple or quadruple, or even more. The outbursts were completely unacceptable. That's how an IESS representative described the gringos shouting and shoving that followed the announcement of the fee increase. Most of the audience were well-behaved, but soon enough, there were some that went out of control. Then he said, we had more issues to discuss with the group, but we were not able to because of the disruptions. The IESS announced the fee changes earlier in the week in Quito, saying they were necessary to correct, quote, inequalities that occurred during the 2013 expansion of the system's membership program. According to IESS, that's the Social Security and Healthcare, the revisions affect thousands of foreign residents from about 20 countries. And, according to an unnamed source, thousands of other mostly Ecuadorian citizens had not been paying into the system over their entire working careers, but were receiving benefits. Beginning in July 2017, all members will be required to pay an amount equal to 17.6% of their income to participate in the healthcare system. Now, here's the part that explains the whole problem. In the case of expats whose residency visa is based on a recurring monthly income, such as a pension, annuity, rental income, trust annuity, or Social Security income, they will be required to pay 17.6% of the income certified on their residency application as it was used as a basis for their residency. Then it says, other permanent residents, such as those with investors' visas, will need to provide proof of that monthly income and will be assessed 17.6% of that. Then it says, for example, under the new calculation, a foreign resident with a monthly income of $1,500 would pay $264 a month as opposed to the $70 a month he or she used to pay. On the other hand, let's say a person recorded a monthly trust income of $6,000, and that amount appeared on his residency application. He'd be paying slightly over $1,000 a month for the privilege of IESS health care benefits. Then it says, rates for dependents of permanent residents covered by IESS will also be increased. Currently, it says, most members pay a percentage based on Ecuador's national minimum wage of $375 a month. And here's the socialist kicker. An IESS spokesperson in Quito said, the adjustment is simply intended to make payments fair for all members and fully fund the system. So while the average foreigner with permanent residency would pay well over $200 a month for the healthcare benefits, the average Ecuadorian with a $375 a month wage would pay $65 a month. That sounds fair. Duh. Then it says, the disruption of the meeting by rowdy expats caught many at the meeting by surprise. Cuenca expat Martin Simmons said he was embarrassed, saying, I had heard about the ugly Americans in Cuenca, but I had never seen them this ugly before. Not until this morning. The meeting was a hot topic Friday on several expat forums, with many comments condemning the actions of the disruptive expats. One commenter reported that gringos went batshit crazy and started shouting and complaining and demanding answers to questions and information that had yet to be presented. Well, you know what? If my insurance premiums happen to go up 400% at one whack, I'd go bat poop crazy too. How about you? Oh, by the way, if you're an expat working a legitimate job on the books in Ecuador, let's say administrator at Walmart, call center worker, whatever, good luck with that because you're already permanently in the IESS system and the extra amount will be automatically deducted from your check. In other words, if you work for a company in Ecuador and receive a payroll check, you'll see that 17%+ deducted every paycheck. Talk about copying everything that's bad about the U.S. Funny thing is that just doesn't start happening until the gringos start piling in because they know gringos obey laws and pay taxes. Whereas with Latins, tax evasion and giving the finger to government are two long-standing and sacred national pastimes.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.